Father, we give you the praise. We give you the honor. We give you the adoration. Breathe upon this service tonight. Let not one person live here the same way they have come. Be glorified. Be honored. In Jesus' precious name. Give the Lord a big clap of hand, please, and be seated in the presence of the Lord. I welcome everyone here tonight to this auspicious presence of the Lord. As the glory is, light has come, and the glory is risen through positive character. This evening, we are commencing the journey on character this month with the subject, the challenge of character. The challenge of character. Our objective tonight is to understand the root of character challenge. What is the root of character challenge? Genesis chapter 3, verse 1 all the way to verse 6. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, has God said you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. The Lord bless his word in the name of Jesus. The challenge of character. We live in a world today that is plagued with a myriad of character challenges, starting from the plague of lovelessness and wickedness, a world filled with lack of love for people, plagued with wickedness. The other day I was ministering in the healing and deliverance service, and I prayed for a young man, and I stood with him with my hands on him, and I said that there's someone here that God is setting free from cultism. Hesitatedly said he's the one. Unbelievable things. How he ran from his village 8 years ago because they killed the person, cut the head, and so on. I'm sure you remember how terrible the story was that day. We live in such a world, plagued. Lovelessness, wickedness, dishonesty, falsehood, insincerity. I was talking with someone today, and the person was talking concerning somebody who is totally lie. Name lie. Everything a lie. And she said, I don't know what is true about this person. And I said, there is something that is true about that person. And that truth is that nothing is true. We had that plague. We had those today. who relocated outside the country on the basis of a lie. They have to organize a marriage that is not true. All manner. The plague. Of financial indignity. Fraudulence. Where people are making a living today on fraud. Plague. They are so wise, but according to scripture, they are wise to do evil. I'm sure you came across that before. People that are wise to do evil. The plague of moral decadence. The question is, what is the root of character challenge? There are two things I'm going to say as we proceed on this subject. Number one, before I say that, there are many people today who are not walking in the light, and they are not walking in the glory that they are meant to walk in. They are not walking in the light. They are not walking in the glory. They are meant to walk in because of the challenge of character. According to Romans chapter 3 and in verse 23, all have sinned or lost character and they have come short of glory. There is a glory they are meant to be walking in. There is a dimension they are meant to be walking in. And they cannot walk in that realm because they have fallen short of character. Two things I want to say. One, the root of character challenge is traceable to the fall of man in the Garden of Eden. Character problem manifesting as iniquity of different types is rooted in the calamity of the Garden of Eden. And number two thing to note, once the root is understood and addressed, character can be adjusted. It's like when the doctor knows the diagnosis, treatment becomes easy. Once the root can be understood and addressed, character can be adjusted. We're going to look at about 10 things that we see from creation, from the fall of man, that is tied to the challenge of character. What is the root of character challenge? Number one, company and communion. Company, communion, communication with the enemy. Company, communion, communication with the enemy. Anyone who keeps the company of the enemy, the company of the unrighteous, the company of the ungodly, will lose character. Eve began a communication with the serpent. In Genesis chapter 3 verse 1, he was in talk with the devil, Satan the devil. That was the origin of the collapse of man's character. The Bible said in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 33. It said, be not deceived. Evil communications will corrupt good manners. It doesn't matter how good your character is. When you decide to engage with the devil, or the agents of the devil, or the children of the devil, that character shall be lost. When a man decides to marry a woman, and as I'm talking now, I remember a man, firebrand man, who married a woman who did not believe in the power of God or in the move of God. After a while, this girl said that this man was going to church too much. Meanwhile, the church was responsible for their marital harmony and dignity. So the man reduced going to church. After a while, the man returned back to drinking alcohol. After a while, the man and this same woman began to fight with bottles. After a while, the man went in and got another woman. That was the outcome of that influence on his life. And I looked and I said, that's right. You say he's going to church too much. Try and taste the other side. That was the root of the decadence of character in the Garden of Eden. Company, communion, communication with the enemy. Number two, it is the lack of understanding of divine instruction. Just simply call it the lack of understanding of the word. God gave a clear instruction to Adam concerning the Garden of Eden and the fruit thereof. Eve did not understand. Eve wasn't there when God spoke to Adam. Genesis 2:17 was when God spoke to Adam about the garden. Eve came later on from verse 18, 19 when God said it was not good for the man to be alone. Maybe Adam didn't explain what God said about the fruit of the garden or the trees there to Eve. But when the serpent began to cast doubt in the mind of Eve concerning what God said in Genesis chapter 3 verse 3, Eve said, God said we should not touch it. We shouldn't eat it, neither should we touch it. So the whole message about that thing was totally misunderstood. If they wouldn't touch it, there was no way they would have been able to dress the garden, because God said they should dress it. What God said was they shouldn't eat it. If the fruit fell, they will gather it. They will touch it, they will gather it. And then when God arrived, they will tell him, sir, this is what you say we shouldn't eat. Here is it. The fruit fell and we gathered them. She understood nothing at all. And as a result of the misunderstanding of the word of God, of the instructions of God, she lived a life that was lacking in character. Listen to this. The word of God will keep you in character. The word of God will keep you in good character. And the lack of the word of God will usher a life unto badness of character. When the word of God is abundant in a man's life, character must be adjusted. When the word of God is absent in the heart of a man, character will be lost. The lack of the understanding of the word of God was number two. Number three is following the desires, passion, and leadership of the flesh. Following the desires, the passion, and the leadership of the flesh will make a person to step out of character. When your flesh, what your flesh wants, what the senses want for you. In Genesis chapter 3 and in verse 6, you see the description of what the Bible said. And when the woman saw what her eyes saw, that the tree was good for food, it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired, to make one wise, she took the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband. Following, this is the point. The decision to gratify the cravings of the senses. The decision to gratify the cravings of the senses. Your eyes want that car, you don't have the money, and you want to kill to get that car. Your body wants this or that, and you want to do anything possible to get that. The decision to gratify the cravings of the senses will lead a person to be devoid of character. Following uncontrolled passion, unbridled passion. The alcoholic that is drinking his life to stupor. The cocaine man that has no control over his desire anymore. the alcohol, the cigarette smoker, the prostitute, the womanizer, and all of that. That unbridled, uncontrolled passion will lead a person to fall out of character. That was what happened to Eve. The senses, the eyes, and the flesh wanted this and wanted that. It fell out of character. Number four is the crave for self-assertion. The crave for self-assertion. What does that mean? The crave for the enforcement of personal will. What I want is what I will have. When you come to the point where you are a law to yourself. Genesis chapter 3 verse 6 again. He said, it was a tree to be desired to make one wise. Self-assertion. There is nothing wrong with having a will, but there is something wrong when that will clashes with the will of God. There is nothing wrong with wanting something. But there is something wrong when what you want clashes with what God wants. One of the most dangerous things that can happen to anybody is to become a law to themselves. Nobody can tell me how to live my life. Nobody can tell me what to do with my life. I can do what I want with my life. I have a decision. Young people do that a lot. I am matured enough. To take a decision for myself. I am matured enough to know what I want for my life. And most of the times, what you want for your life is disastrous to your destiny. You know, I just thought recently and I said, the difference between an elderly person and a younger person, between a father and a child, is that the father has been a child before, but the child has never been a father before. Is that the elderly person has been a young person before, but the young person has never been an elderly person before. So it is not possible for the young person to know what the elder knows. Because we have a generation of young people. Right, we are a generation of computers and internet and a generation of this and that, and we know many things and we know everything. Not knowing that no matter what you know, the person who gave birth to you have been there before. The Bible says there is nothing new under the sun. If you have games to play, 70 years ago there were games too, except that they may not be computer games. But game is game. Am I communicating at all? That's why there's a lot of rebellion in the youth age group. Antinomism. They want to do things that are upside down. Things that are upside society. If everybody is wearing... The other day I saw one of our young men and I saw his trouser. I said, your trouser is fearing the ground. It's just hanging up like that. I said, supposing I wear this for preaching. He said, no sir, this one will not fit you. Am I communicating at all? Let me want what you want, oh my dear Lord. Let me love what you love, oh dear Lord. That is how you designed life to be, Lord. Help me, Lord, to live how? Please take your seat. I ought to live. Oh Lord, take me to the place where I have no will that is separate from your will. Take me to the place where I have no choice that is separate from your choice. To be lost in you is my desire. To be all for you is all I want. Beloved brothers and sisters, that is one of the major roots of character challenge. They crave for self-assertion. They crave for the enforcement of personal will. They crave to be a law to oneself. The criminal is a law to himself. The law of God doesn't hold him. The law of society doesn't hold him. So he comes to the point where the law catches up with him. That was number four. Number five is the decision for independence from God. The decision for independence from God. When a person decides to be independent of God, character will be out of order. When you decide to exclude God out of your scheme of things, character will be out of order. Genesis chapter 3 and in verse 5. Genesis chapter 3 and in verse 5. It says, for God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes will be opened and you shall be as God. You see, this was the temptation that Eve could not overcome. Eat this thing and you will be like God, meaning that you won't need God. There is something God is trying to hide from you that is in this fruit. If you are able to eat it, then the need for God does not exist anymore. And we live in a generation of people today who want to exist independent of God. They are deciding to function and exist as if God does not exist. They wake up in the morning, they just bath and start going. Nothing like, thank you, Lord, for keeping me awake till morning. The Bible said in Psalm 3 verse 5, I slept and I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. Meaning that it is not possible for anybody, whether you know God or not, to sleep in the night and wake up in the morning if God did not wake you up. They started going out in the morning as if they woke themselves up. They saw food, they started eating the same way a dog will eat without prayer. You understand what I'm saying? The same way cat will see food and start eating, no need for prayer. And a man is supposed to be at a higher level than the animal. They got promotion, they begin to praise their performance. Meanwhile, the Bible says promotion cometh not from the east, not from the west, not from the south. But God is judge. Psalm 75, I believe it's 5 and 6 or something. God is judge. Who put up one? Who set up one and put down another? For promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. But God is the judge. He put it down one and set it up another. When anybody leaves, you don't need to tell God, I don't need you. You don't need to say it with mouth. You only say it with action. When you behave like God does not exist, when you behave like God is not in your scheme of things, every time we go for any of those crusades, the type we went in Bauchi and everywhere, the first place we branch is not the house. The first place we branch is this altar. We come on our knees, prostrate to God, to appreciate for everything we saw. We will not attribute it to our prayer and our fasting. Would that repute it to study of the world? For it's not of him that willeth or runneth, but of God who showeth mercy. There are those who fast more than us, who pray more than us, who have done many things more than us, and they haven't seen the results we are seeing. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? One young man said to me one day, he said, he fasted for 40 days, no food, only water. Yes, at the end of the fast, the only thing he was able to achieve was to see people's problem, but no solution. That is, he will know what is wrong with the person, no solution. The prayer will not produce any result. It became a diagnostic machine. No treatment. Are you following? So it's not your prayer, it's not your fasting, it's not of him that willeth, it's not of him that runneth, but of God who show mercy. Consciousness of God's existence imparts caution to action. Consciousness that there is a God who ruleth in the affairs of men. There is a God in heaven. There is a God on the throne. There is a God who watches us. Consciousness of God's existence, consciousness of God's presence imparts caution to action. Yeah, it's all right. You're all right. Impact cautiousness to action. You are cautious. I mean, you just know that there is an eye bigger than yours. You know that there is someone bigger than you who is involved in your affair. This is the root of character problem. You can't even slap your wife. You can't slap your wife if you believe that God did. The decision for independence of God. Number six. And now, everything from number six to the end became the consequence of number one to five. Number six is the loss of the nature of God through disobedience. When man fell in the Garden of Eden, the nature of God in man became lost. Because God told him in Genesis 2:17, he said, the moment you eat the fruit, you shall die. You shall die. And Romans chapter 6, verse 23, the wages of sin is death. So when Adam and Eve sinned, they died. What is that? Adam still continued living. Because he lived until God drove him from the garden. What is the death? The nature of God in man died. That is spiritual death, is the death of divine nature in man. Spiritual death is the separation of God and man. And when the nature of God in man dies, there is a nature that comes alive. And that is number seven. The loss of the nature of God through disobedience. And number seven is the gain of the nature of the devil through rebellion to God. The gain of the nature. Jesus said it in John chapter 8 verse 44 when he was telling the Pharisees. He said, you are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father, all the deeds of your father you will do. You are of your father the devil, and the deeds of your father you will do. You are of your father the devil. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. So the majority of the unbelieving world are carrying about the satanic nature. So they do some things that you are wondering, how is it possible? Huh? A man carried a little baby, smashed the head on the wall. Why? The baby was disturbing him and his girlfriend, who is the mother of the child. Yes, mother is alive. I mean, and mother is okay. Mother, no consequence. You see some things that people will do. And you are wondering, how did this originate? Satanic nature. Giving birth to terrorists and killers and kidnappers and traders in human spare parts. Okay, that is one of the things you must know about the devil, is that he has zero compassion. Compassion level of Satan is zero. The truth of the matter is, Satan celebrates with human pain. He celebrates with human frustration. Consideration zero. And you must understand that this Satan was once in heaven. That will make the second point, the next point, very important for you. So they gain it in human, the presence of the nature of the devil. I was talking with a couple yesterday, handling their case, and they are trying to report each other, and this one did this, this one did. I said, look at you, wait for me, wait, let me tell you. There is nothing that I have not heard by God's grace in dealing with people. So don't try to paint the other person terrible. I said, I have seen a man sat in front of me before who said he killed his mother, cut off the head. What? The man's eye was as red as this red carpet. Buried the head in his living room. The mother who born him. For ritual purpose, for money. So what happened at the end? The money didn't come. So what are you here to do? He wants the mercy of God. And he sat in front of me. Eyes red like fire. God is merciful. If human beings were God, 90% of human beings would be in hell on the spot. For 9 months, gave you breast to drink, even if you are Satan yourself. So I told them, calm down. We have heard many things. Praise the Lord. I told the story until I'm trying to remember what led me to this point. Yes, I mean, I was talking about a couple. Do you understand what I'm talking about? That is the nature of the devil. When people reject the nature of God, they will be shocked what they can do. If you tell that boy when he was a child that he has such capacity in himself, he will say it's a lie. But as he went away from the nature of God and allowed the nature of the devil to take hold on him, he was instantly capable of that. Please take your seat. That is the gain of the nature of the devil. It's a root of sin. The root of character challenge and sin also. Number 7. Number 8. Like I said, leads us to, from the other one, is the loss of the presence of God. When man fell in the Garden of Eden, God drove them. And the presence of God. Genesis chapter 3 verse 24. Genesis 3 24. The Bible said, so he drove out the man. And he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims. And a flaming sword. Which turned every way. To keep the way of the tree of life. He drove them. I just remembered one young man many, many years ago, like 15 years ago, before what they call ritual thing became popular, the man came in tears. He wants to repent. Why? He's seen people tormenting him in the dream. Give me back my whichever body part he took from them. Give me back my this. Give me back my that. He had no sleep in the night. The same devils that sent him to kill people came back to torment him in the dream. The same devil. Genesis 3:24. God drove them. I want you, don't ever forget this. Distance from God equals disaster of character. When people move away from the presence of God, they begin to manifest character that is disastrous. Distance from God equals disaster of character. That is where you see lovelessness. You see lovelessness at its peak. You see hatred as it at its peak. You see animal behavior. Distance from God brings out the worst of man. It brings out the worst of man. You remember Peter? Matthew chapter 26 verse 59. When Peter began to follow Jesus from afar. Move to 58. But Peter followed him afar. When Peter began to follow from a distance, that was when he began to deny the master. That was when he began to say, I don't know him. When you begin to follow God from a distance, you will begin to deny that you know him. In your lifestyle, you begin to deny that you know God. In your behavior, you begin to deny that you know him. Distance from God brings out the worst in man. Number nine, root of character challenge is the loss of the voice of God. We saw in the Garden of Eden that God frequently spoke to man. In Genesis chapter 3 verse 8, they saw the voice of the Lord, they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the Garden of Eden in the cool of the day. They heard that voice walking in the garden. That was their normal life. The moment they were driven out of the Garden of Eden, that was the end of the voice. As man was driven from the Garden of Eden, he got disconnected from the voice of God. And how many of you know that the voice of God is the carrier of the life of God? John chapter 6 verse 63. It is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. The voice of God is the carrier of the life or the character of God. The voice of God is the carrier of the nature of God. That is why, no matter how bad it is, for as long as you continue to read the Bible, to study the Bible, to hear the voice of God, to come to church and hear words such as this, there is a restraint on your character. Am I communicating? There is a restraining force. There is a restraint. There is a restraint. There is a restraint on your character. It's like a lion that is not in the wildlife anymore. That is tamed. That is in a zoo setting, maybe. There is a restraint. It's still a lion, but that lionic nature is under control. Am I communicating? That's how the flesh is. That's how the flesh of man is. Until we leave this world, flesh is still flesh. If it is allowed to express itself, you will be shocked. Hallelujah. That's why when people stop coming to church, also other things follow. When they stop studying the Bible, when they stop reading the word, when they become too busy for God, when they become too busy for church, when they begin to find fault with church and find fault with brethren and find fault with everybody and now begin to stay away, other things will follow. Bitterness will erupt. Hatred against those who go to church. All of them are hypocrites. All of them. Hatred against church. In fact, I will do anything I want. I'm not under anybody's control. Nobody can tell me what to do. All manner of lawlessness sets in. That is why D.L. Moody said, the Bible will keep you from iniquity, and iniquity will also keep you from the Bible, from the Word of God. Someone say a loud amen. Whatever you do, never be out of touch with the Word. Never be out of touch with the voice of God. Never be out of touch. This is root number 9 of character challenge. And number 10 is the lot of all of us. I call it existence in the world of corruption and depravity. Existence in a world of corruption and depravity. That is, all of us, we live in a world that is wired for corruption. Wired for depravity. Look at Romans chapter 8 and in verse 20 to 21. For the creature was made subject to vanity. When I looked at that word vanity, it was the word depravity. Base existence. Not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. From the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the Son of God. Is God speaking to somebody here? Listen to this. God made man in his image. He made man in the image of God. He made the garden, the earth, in the image of heaven. That garden, as it was. When man fell, everything on the earth fell with him. Everything under his jurisdiction fell. Everything lost control. He said, I have said you are gods. And all of you children of the Most High, but because you understand what all the foundation of the earth is out of course. Everything is out of course. I'm going to say something that I want you to understand. And you will never forget. Now, the wickedness, the lawlessness that is on the earth, it is evident everywhere. Let me just give you a slight example. At times, when I watch, occasionally that I have a little time to watch wildlife, and I see how wicked the animals can be to each other. How the lion will hunt and go and hunt baby goat, and the mother is there lamenting. And the eagle will come from the sky. The eagle is so, I don't know how to call it. It's more wicked, what more terrible than the lion? Eyes red, it doesn't smile. It will just be looking like that. The eagle will perch on the back of a hyena and start eating it alive. Pull out his intestine. The guy is still walking. The other day I watched one, the hyena lifted the back leg in pain. This guy was unconcerned. Just feasting. Huh? The other day I saw an eagle carried a goat, flew high into the air, and left mountain goat, and left it from there to crash on the ground so that he would eat it fresh dead. And it came and picked it. And I asked myself, did God create all the animals to eat each other like that? The answer is no. When the whole earth was under the control of God and in harmony, there was no dog eat dog like that. Love pervaded everywhere. That was why the Bible said when God restores the earth, the lion will eat grass like the ox. The lion will not be feeding on another animal. The lion will lie down with the lamb. Maybe we'll see that in Isaiah chapter 11. Let's say I read from verse 5. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, that is baby goat. He's not looking for it to eat. And the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child will eat them, will lead them. The child will lead them, and the lion will not be pursuing the child to kill it. The wolf shall, and the cow and the bear shall feed. The young one shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. It will not be looking for another animal to eat. It will eat straw. When there is the regeneration of the earth back to what it was, that wickedness, that climate that we found in the animal kingdom is the same climate we are living in. Very savage, very bestial, very wicked. Where somebody stops people on the road and all of you have been kidnapped. Bring 50 million. And they say, we don't have. He said, if you don't bring it, don't have 24 hours. Forget about your relation. And there are people who have died. There are those who paid and yet they were not released. The bondage of corruption. The climate of depravity. The climate of wickedness and lawlessness. I have always wondered, will God who said have dominion over creation, is the same God that will allow the mosquito to bite a man and he dies of cerebral malaria? A whole human being. Ordinary mosquito killed him. I had a medical doctor colleague in the teaching hospital who died of typhoid preparation. Bacteria, Salmonella typhi, that you can't see with your eye, kill the whole doctor under the nose of other specialists. You cannot be the food of mosquito. There's no way God could have done that. That mosquito survivor should be by drinking your blood. No. It's the climate we are living in. That is why the Bible says the endless expectation of creature. Romans chapter 8 verse 19. Waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. That time will come and it's not be long, where the animals will fall in line. Everything will fall in line. And I can assure you, all the animals and everything you see, they are all there in heaven too. Especially the godly ones. I don't know whether the vulture, I don't think the vulture will be there. But we see in scripture the cherubims, the face of one has the face of an eagle, another one has the face of a horse, the other one has the face of a man, and so on. There was none that said there was the face of a vulture. I'm sure there are some that cannot. I'm sure it's the degeneration that made the vulture to look like that too. It must have been more beautiful than that. God so degenerated began to eat rotten food. And God said, the way you are eating, may your life be like that. Wretched and rotten. Look at the guy there. Hallelujah. Lift up your right hand and say, in the name of Jesus, I shall overcome the depravity, the corruption, and the degeneration of my generation. In the name of Jesus, I shall overcome. Somebody say loud amen. Take your seat in the presence of God. How many of you learned something today? Now, how do we deal with the root of character challenge? All you need to do is to just go through those 10 points and just do the opposite. The one that says lack of the presence of God, just dive yourself into God. But now, let me summarize it in 5 points. Dealing with character challenge number 1, receive the life of God by being born again. In case you are not yet born again, receive that life of God. In 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 23. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 23. He said, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Corruptible seed. Incorruptible means uncompromisable seed. Uniquitous seed. Receive the life of God. That's the starting point. Number 2. Submit to the will and plan of God in all things. Submit. to the will and plan of God. The will of man must be surrendered to the will of God. You cannot say, I'm a lord to myself and I want to do what I want to do with my life. Submit yourself to the will and plan of God in all things. Romans chapter 6 verse 16. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourself servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether it is of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Lord, I give you my will. Many times when you submit your will to the will of God, you will look like a fool. A fool to people. Oh, really? Is that what you want to do? How you want to live? But I can tell you the foolishness of God is wiser than men. There were those who thought we were fools when we followed God wholeheartedly many years ago. But today the difference is clear. Submit yourself to the will and plan of God. Number three, refuse the leadership and lordship of the flesh. The leadership and lordship of the flesh. All your mates have a car. All your mates are driving this kind of car. Why don't you do whatever it takes to get a car? You say, no, I am not going to do it. Everybody is getting promoted in your office, and they all did the same by sleeping with their boss or giving a bribe or something. Won't you do the same so you can go forward? You said, no, I can't do that. Just do this so you can move there. No. Refuse the leadership and the lordship of the flesh. Romans chapter 8, verse 5 to 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 5 to 8. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the spirit, the things of the spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the will of God, law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. You can't do the will of God if your life is under the control of your flesh. Your flesh wants you to drink. There you go. Your flesh wants you to give your life to a man. That is where you go. Your flesh wants to steal in order to belong to society. That is what you do. I mean, God is saying, receive capacity to say, flesh, sit down. You can't rule my life. You can't rule me and ruin me. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You can say, no, I am not going in that direction. Refuse the leadership and the lordship of the flesh. Number four, submit to the leading and leadership of the spirit. The leading and the leadership. The spirit of God, your human spirit. Both. The leadership. The spirit of God, your human spirit is it comes through the voice of your conscience. Your conscience is the voice of your human spirit. Submit to the leading and the leadership of the spirit. Romans chapter 8, verse 13 and 14. Romans chapter 8, verse 13 and 14. He said, for if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the spirit of God, they are the sons of God. There are times the spirit of God will tell you, move out of this place now. Right? You are in the midst of a discussion that is not godly, and you move. There is a time where it says, avoid this company. This person is not a friend. By the time you move along with this person, you are going to find yourself where you don't want, and you avoid. This person you think you want to marry is not a wife. It's a knife. This is not a man to marry. It's a machete. I follow what I'm saying here today. But many people ignore the voice of the spirit to the detriment of their life. Some move like an ox to the slaughter. No peace, no peace, no peace. Yet they are dipping their head into actions. The actions come with the outcomes which are not necessarily palatable. Somebody say a loud amen. Place your hand on your chest and say, Father, help me to obey the voice of the Spirit and to follow the directions that are right. Say a loud amen. Just write this date. You say, the Spirit of God in you. And your man say, no, don't do that. That is not correct. You obey the voice of the Spirit. And number 5, avoid the wrong company and communication. The wrong company as well as communication. Proverbs chapter 13 verse 20, he said, he that walketh to the wise man shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. First Corinthians 15:33. I read it earlier on. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Avoid the wrong company. In case you say the company is not wrong, the communication could be wrong. Avoid the wrong company and avoid the wrong communication. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Good communications correct bad manners. The same way that evil communications corrupt good manners, good communications correct bad manners. Hallelujah. Even the communications you have received tonight has corrected some things. He has corrected some thought processes. He has corrected some lifestyles. Do you believe so? Then stand up on your feet. Hallelujah. Go ahead and give the Lord the praise. 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 Give the Lord the honor. Give the Lord the adoration. Give the Lord the worship. The supremacy, the dominion, the rule. Arise, shine, for your light is come. Whenever light comes, people shine. How many of you received light today? Yes, keep going. Company and communion and communication with the enemy. And then the lack of understanding of the world. Following the desires, passion and leadership of the flesh. The crave for self-assertion. You want your will to be done. Decision to be independent of God. And then losing the nature of God through disobedience. Gaining the nature of the devil through rebellion to God. The loss of God's presence, separation from God. The loss of the voice of God. And being in existence under the world of corruption and depravity. How many of you learned something about the brutalness of the animals to themselves? And you are wondering, is it not God who created them? You say, it's a depravity, a degeneration that is just existing on them. Hallelujah. No, there are times I've watched, I said, who will save this animal from this other one? It's a new day. Lift up your hands and let us worship Him. Lord, I want to be like Jesus in my heart. In my heart. Lord, I want to be like Jesus in my heart. In my heart, in my heart, in my heart, in my heart, Lord, I want to be like Jesus. In my heart. In my heart, 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 in more time. Up your hands and your voices and say after me and say, Lord, I've come before you tonight. I receive the grace to avoid the wrong company.
To avoid the wrong company.
And the wrong communication.
The wrong communication.
I come to submit my life.
I come to submit my life.
To the leading.
To the leading.
And the leadership.
And the leadership.
Of the Holy Spirit.
Of the Holy Spirit.
I come to refuse.
I come to refuse.
And reject.
And reject.
The leadership.
The leadership.
And the lordship.
And the lordship.
Of the flesh.
Of the flesh.
I've come to submit.
I've come to submit.
To the will.
To the will.
And the plan.
And the plan.
Of God.
Of God.
In all things.
In all things.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I receive.
I receive.
The life.
The life.
Of God.
Of God.
Today.
Today.
As I receive.
As I receive.
Salvation.
Salvation.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Open your mouth and begin to tell God. In the name of Jesus, wherever you are this night, everyone, can we all lift up our hands? Anywhere you are today, you are saying, Pastor, I've heard this message and this preaching tonight, and I want to make my ways right with Jesus. I want today to be a new day for me. I want my sins forgiven. I want Jesus to be Lord over my life. I need help from God. I need forgiveness for my sins. Wherever you are, pray this prayer with me and say, Lord Jesus. Say it louder. Lord Jesus, I am a sinner in need of your help. Come into my life.
faith ladder. Come into my life. Make me a new person. Today, I have decided to follow you, Jesus. No turning back. From today, I go forward ever. Backward never. Thank you, Master. In Jesus' name. Amen.